Good morning again. Thank you, choir. So, we find ourselves in this setting with two sisters, some other people, and Jesus. And they both are devoted to Jesus. One keeps the social norms of the time as a woman. She gives wonderful hospitality to her guest, Jesus. And the other goes a little, not astray, but she does something that's out of the norm for women. She goes and sits at Jesus' feet to learn, to study from a teacher. Not as usual as being a hostess in her time. Martha is doing her job of offering hospitality to Jesus. But then she breaks one of the rules. And it's a rule that even you and I try to keep. She puts Jesus in the middle of an argument. Right? She asks Jesus to be the referee between sisters. Not a good idea. Just saying, if you're a host, don't do that. She asks Jesus a question. Martha is serving, but she's not staying focused on her job of hospitality. She's not focused on her guest. She's not focused on Jesus. All Martha can think about is her sister not helping. Has anyone stewed before? Do we have anyone here who can stew? A few of us can, it seems. Where we're sitting there looking at Mary saying, she is not doing her job, and I'm just going to think about it, and it's going to eat away at me, eat away at me. She's not focused on her guest. She's not focused on Jesus, but on Mary and all of her frustration that goes with it. So when I was first married, I think one of the first big parties I hosted, or we hosted, I should say, was my daughter's first birthday. And we had a lot of people there. I guess there hadn't been a baby born in the family in a while. There was probably like 30 people at a one-year-old birthday party. As I look back, I'm like, what? What was going on there? But anyway, I was trying to clean up as we went along, and I was missing the party. And so my mother-in-law came in to the kitchen, and she gave me some of the best advice ever. She said, well, that was the last thing I said. She said, go spend time with your guests. The cleanup can wait. And I listened to her, and I went, and I enjoyed the party with everyone else. It was the best advice. And every time I have a party, I do this, and I clean up after everyone is gone, and 9 times out of 10, because my mother-in-law is usually there, she is in the kitchen helping me clean up at the end. So it's also time for us to be together as well. So I'm thinking of Martha and how she could have, this is a choice, she could have spent some time with the guest and then cleaned up later. This scripture has been interpreted as Martha just not doing it right. Mary gets all the credit, but in another scripture, in many other scriptures, we are told to serve and to love one another. In fact, the text right before Martha and Mary is the text about the Good Samaritan, which tells us to be kind to everyone, stop what you're doing, help someone. And today, in our announcements, how many things did we ask you to sign up for? It's like the to-do list keeps coming. We have to keep serving. Scripture and life is so confusing, isn't it? What do we do? Serve? Do we sit at Jesus' feet? How do we do all this? Somehow, this keeps happening over and over. What if this text of Martha and Mary shows that we do both tasks? What if it's not either or, but step A and step B? What we need to do is be mindful, reflective, soul-searching before we get to work. So that when we get to work, we know that we are serving for the right reason. Scholar Matthew Skinner says, Martha's problem is that her service strays from attending to its rightful object of devotion, the Lord Jesus. So whenever we do anything, maybe what we first need to do is sit at Jesus' feet and reflect, and ask ourselves, is what we're doing or going to do Christ-centered? Are we doing it for the right reason? And maybe if it is not Christ-centered, we know that it's okay to say no to it, or it's the right thing to say yes. And maybe that's how we can sort out our yeses and nos. As I was thinking about this and reflecting on this scripture, I couldn't help but think about churches in general and how churches in general have a lot of meetings. Has anyone ever served on a committee in a church? Okay, are there a lot of meetings? All right. And in those meetings, a lot of times, we talk and talk and talk, and not always take action. So I loved this cartoon. After Ted closes with prayer, there will be a brief meeting in the parking lot to determine what, if anything, was actually decided in the meeting. We need to think about, is it Christ-centered, and then go do it. So I like this book I just recently read called Simple Church. The author of Simple Church says, find out as a group, as a church, as a congregation, what is your core? What is your core belief and what are you all about? And once you know what that is, every decision is made from that core. So if you want to have a parking lot barbecue, does that barbecue meet with this core value? If it doesn't, you're not doing it. If it does, you do it. And I find this simple church idea so refreshing. It gives us a clear cut, yes, we will do this, and no, we won't. And I hope that any church, part of their core or their core, will be Christ-centered. So what if, as we make decisions, we keep Jesus as our focus and notice? Where is God in this? Constantly asking, am I tuned in to God? Am I noticing all the places where God is meeting me and I am meeting God? Am I really paying attention? Am I sitting at Jesus' feet and noticing and learning so that when it's time to take action, I'm ready and prepared with the whys and the hows? So some of you may, Okay, I'll try to figure out a new word, a synonym for it. So, a while back, I was a nanny. And I was asked to be a nanny by a friend for a little girl named Cammy. And so you might, as a grandparent, relate. That's the word, relate to this. I am not a grandparent. But as a nanny, and as someone who had a child who was in her teens, being with a baby was so wonderful. And so I would spend time with Cammy. And as she grew up, I started watching her when she was 3 weeks old. And as she started to grow up and walk, it was so wonderful to see the world through her eyes. And I know I've heard grandparents talk about this, how they let the dishes wait and the floors wait, and they just focus on the child because the child goes home and then you can do the dishes and you can do the laundry and you can do the floors. And in that time, I remember walking the neighborhood camp with Cammy, who was just like a year old, barely walking, holding her hand, and her noticing the leaves in the trees or the leaves that were on the ground and how they were different colors. And the bright orange big pumpkin, because it was autumn, on the steps of a house. And how that orange pumpkin, we walked into someone's yard just to see this big, huge orange pumpkin that she was just thrilled with. And how we noticed all these things. What if this is what Mary was doing? She was noticing everything that Jesus was saying. And maybe that's what this passage calls us to do. Notice when God is with us. Notice Jesus' teachings and how we can do these teachings in our everyday lives. And let's stay focused on Jesus. Focus on God. I'm going to close with a quote from Wayne Dyer. Give yourself a gift of 5 minutes of contemplation in awe of everything you see around you. Go outside and turn your attention to the many miracles around you. I'm going to pause my quote for a second because I heard about a miracle, two miracles today, just this morning, and it was inside. So it's not just outside we see miracles, there's inside too. Okay, back to the quote. This 5 minute a day regimen of appreciation and gratitude will help you focus on your life in awe. And I will add this. We will stay focused on this awesome creator named God who continues to create and work through us. Amen.